Black people go crazy.
Justice Wisconsin, the truth. The most requested advocate in the state. 101.7 FM. The movement continues. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Milwaukee, stand up, stand up. It's Tory Lowe, the truth, from one to four. We about that action, so tap in and let's go. We want that justice, we want all the smoke. From Monday through Friday, trying to bring the city hope. Yeah, Tory Lowe from one to four, Monday through Friday, let's go. We about that action from the block, and we ready, let's go. Tap in, and it ain't no holding back, we ready. One on one, seven the truth. Tory Lowe show. DJ Brother Z on the one and twos. Thank you for joining me for the second hour of the Tory Lowe show. The movement continues. The marathon continues right here on 101.7 the truth. Thank you for joining me for the second hour of the Tory Lowe show. Also, I want to take a moment off the top of this hour to talk about my friend, a community member, Maurice Big Herc Williams Jr. We had the funeral over the weekend with the family, and I'll say this, it was one of those things where in all my time that I've been out in the community, I know that when it's personal, when I know the people, many times people call me for their family member have lost their life due to senseless violence. But when it's somebody that I actually, you know, have history with, it hit a little bit different. And I just want to send my condolences out to Maurice Williams' family, his mother, his children, his brothers and sisters, his family, the brothers that he met out in the streets that he was actively working with the youth with. The CLE Panther organization, Carvell Brooks. It's just so many things that I can say about this man trying to help, trying to be a mentor to these kids through football. He was a good coach. They was winning first place. That's a huge loss. That's a huge loss to our community and all of the young people and his children that will be negatively affected by his loss. And I just want to say, we going to miss you, Maurice Williams. We going to miss you, Big Hurt. And it's just one of those things. When you lose brothers on the front lines that's out here willing to do the work, came on the show a couple times with this youth football program, the CLE Panthers came on the show and talked about some of the things that were going on with the young people and asking people to send their young people if they interested in playing football to the team when they had trouble where something happened where the league tried to stop them from playing. We got that audio, you know, on the show. It's just a lot when people are out here fighting every day to make things better and then they lose their life to senseless violence. It just hits different when it's somebody that I know personally that really was trying to make a difference. So once again, I'm going to send my condolences out to the family of Maurice Williams, Big Hurt. And I just, you know, one of those things where, you know, you got to just say, okay, what can we do to fill in the hole for those young kids and his family? And it's just, whatever we got to do, it takes a village. And, hey. But there's also something else that's going on that I want to pay attention to. But before I go on to this story, go on to this next story, we got Lisa. Lisa has a comment. How you doing, Lisa?
Good afternoon. How you doing, love? How are you doing?
How you doing, Queen?
I'm doing good. And I'm just calling to, and I'm listening to you, and I was listening to how you were speaking about the awards show that you attended. I don't know anything about the other radio host. Never heard of her.
I just wanted to know, was the qualifications as a live broadcast or was it podcast included?
Well, I don't think she would even qualify if it was running where it's supposed, you know, the awards where it should have been. If the show is about community leadership and what you're doing in the community, I commend you.
Mm-hmm.
I've never heard her in my community, so I wouldn't know.
Right.
I mean, she wouldn't want to, you know, that blue ribbon in our community. We don't even give away ribbons. But anyway.
You're right.
So what I'm doing, what I'm offering to you, since, you know, you're more youth listen to your show than the Sherry Hughes show. But we have here every month a black community meeting. And you will be, it's growing and growing and growing. We need to get the word out. It's all about the community getting together. And we need the beautiness that I see. And one thing I want to do, Sherwin, because believe it or not, we elders are now seeing, because we're so stuck on our, you know, our kids doing wrong. We believe, you know, they're sagging, they got hoodies on. We've bought into what media has shown us, but we know the truth. We are young men. Oh my God, they are so helping. You know, like, you know, I need help. They help me out my car, onto the door, whatever I need. But, you know, I shut their hands where I'm trying to walk here. But they are so welcoming. They help, you know, us elders to our car, they to our seats. They, you know, and it's growing and growing and growing. So
that's good. That's powerful.
Yeah. We need to stop giving our bad youth the praise and recognition and give it to our good youth.
Well, we got a lot of programs that are based on a mission statement to help the bad youth. And then you see the good programs, but you don't know where they at. You got to look for them. You got to dig for them. And I think that we got to just start having a centralized place where we can have the information, where they can get the information. Like I said, the brother that came on at the top of the hour, he got jobs, 14 with a permit and up.
Okay.
And he came on the show. And I saw him out there struggling to get people to know that he had employment for others.
And somebody called him while he was on air.
And then somebody called him while he was on air. And I think it's just a lack of people understanding how to use these opportunities of social media, or even with my show. You know, like you just called in. I wouldn't have knew that unless you called in. That you needed people to do that. So we got to find a better avenue of how to spread information.
Well, I can, you know, that's the best. Word of mouth is still the best communication there is. And if that young man would have showed up at the meeting, he would have had those 10 or 15. Because believe it or not, there were a lot of youth there. You know, the grandparents and, you know, mothers that are bringing their kids. You know, kids are allowed. We serve food afterwards and all of that. So, you know, we need us to come together. So we need to know what's needed in the community.
All right. So what
time?
We
don't know if we're not happy. Mm-hmm.
So what time do you need people to be what and where?
Every first of the month.
Okay.
Every first of the month at 11 a.m. on the dot. We're at 3500 North 26th Street. That's on 26th and Keith. Right there on the corner.
Okay.
It's a church. Yeah, that building right there. So we're right there in the 53206 neighborhood, you know. So we every Saturday, first of the month. So every first of the month.
Every first Saturday of the month.
Yes. We serve lunch afterwards or in between, you know, and we're sharing ideas. We're sharing knowledge. We're sharing what's needed in the community. We have drivers there that is looking for CDL drivers. Love, we have it all. We have people, you know, congressmen there. We have aldermen there. When it's voting time, we let people know when to go vote and poll. We have it all.
Okay.
We have to come together and keep that, you know, going. And as for you, I would like for you to please come on, you know, our next meeting, the first month of June, so you can introduce yourself, because a lot of elders don't know about you.
That's what's
or don't
up.
Know about your show, and vice versa.
Well,
you know,
look,
and that young man, him come out there also.
I wasn't during their time.
Need workers.
Yeah, I wasn't during their time.
Come on out.
They close the doors on. They, you know, some of the elders, they just relaxing and hanging back.
What a lot of them are, if you listen to them, they're fighting for, you know, they're you know, junkies living next door to them, and they're, you know, and they're just trashing their houses. That's what they're fighting for. We're not scared of you. We're just trying to work with our aldermen.
Mm-hmm.
That are not listening.
Hey,
and we're trying
you
to get,
said
you know, these boarded up houses.
Hey,
yeah,
I've been trying to tell folks
them.
For a long time. But like I said, I got my opinion, but I'll say this. I got my opinion. I got a lot of opinions, but what I'll say is this. We'll definitely tap into the resources, because what we want to do is be resourceful. And so if there's resources and things that the community can get involved in, I'm the guy. I'm the person to get that done.
Yes. Yeah, and that's why I wanted you to be there. Yes, that's for sure. I don't know if Sherman's going to ever come. I don't know. Sherman's more about talking.
Like, God bless Sherman. You know, if they tuning in to Sherman, so I guess, you know, they listening. I guess if they listening to him, it would be better to, if they could get the word out. You know, if they listening to him, you know, maybe they can call in and say what they need for people to do. But I can do it too. So I appreciate you for tapping in, Lisa. Also, do we got time for this other idea, DJ Brother ZB?
Okay, it's a short video.
Okay, well, I'll tell you this: there's a father out here. We got to go over to Ohio. We got to go over to Ohio because it's going down over in Ohio. A father of an 18-year-old who was fatally shot by an Ohio police officer is charged with hitting and killing that deputy with a car. This is a wild story. This happened last Friday. The father of the 18-year-old who was fatally shot by police during an alleged stolen vehicle incident in Cincinnati on Thursday has been charged with hitting that deputy with his car and killing him. Police saying that they can't have nothing like this. They can't have people acting like this. But I told y'all one day, somebody going to get tired of these young men getting killed, and they going to try to take matters into their own hands. That's why I always try to push for even police officers to stop with the extra, because sometimes, you know, you may get a situation like this. You may get a Ronnie L. Hinton, 38 years old, accused of intentionally hitting a Hamilton County Sheriff Deputy Larry Henderson Friday afternoon at Martin Luther King Drive near the University of Cincinnati. This is what they got in the police report. I'll tell you this. Eventually, something like this was going to happen. And we all got to make sure that we tap in. And I'm hoping that the police officers, because I saw the video where they was lined up, you know, in this courtroom, you know, because the officer went down. But y'all supposed to be serving. We all have to get together and say enough is enough and work to heal our community, because everybody, every serviceman, every person, every firefighter, everybody, every citizen is all one big village in our community. And when one does something to the other, it was going to be a matter of time before something like this was going to take place. But we got video of this, if y'all watching as we broadcast live on YouTube. Let's listen.
At these East Price Hill condos Thursday morning, Cincinnati officers tracked down a stolen vehicle.
As you know, we had a critical incident yesterday.
Four people get out and start running. In body cam footage released today, in just 6 seconds, police say 18-year-old Ryan Hinton aims his gun at officers.
He's got a gun!
Police shoot and kill him. Today on MLK Drive, a deputy is working traffic control for UC graduation when a driver crashes into him.
There is a connection between these two incidents. The driver of today's vehicle that struck a deputy has a family relationship with the 18-year-old that we shot yesterday.
Chief, is the person who hit the deputy the father of the person who was shot yesterday?
Yes.
Ryan Hinton's father, 38-year-old Rodney Hinton, is charged with aggravated murder in the deputy's death. He was taken to University Hospital in critical condition. Hours later, the Hamilton County Sheriff's deputy dies. The CPD homicide unit investigating both the death of the deputy killed today and the death of the 18-year-old shot by police.
I can assure you, as the chief of police for Cincinnati, I will ensure you transparency and a thorough and accurate investigation.
Thanks for watching. Stay updated.
All right. Like I said, this is a situation that a father took matters into his own hands. A father who lost a son to another police shooting. And you see all of these things where, you know, we over the years, you know, Trayvon, Mike Brown, George Floyd, Breonna Taylor, you know, you see these officers, you know, they kind of, you know, they get paid leave. You know, you get a few of them. You get a few of them that go to jail for it. But then you got tons of social media clips of this. And now it hit Rodney L. Hinton's doorstep. And he took matters into his own hands. Rodney L. Hinton, 38 years old, the father of the young man that was killed by a deputy out there, a sheriff deputy. And he caught him slipping near the University of Cincinnati, Ohio. And got him on Martin Luther King Drive. This is, I'm going to keep everybody updated on this, but I would love to hear y'all reaction to this story. 833-212-1017. It's a lot people are starting to talk about online. They're saying that the recently retired deputy was working as a special deputy and directing traffic near the university during graduation events, officials said. Officials did not identify him, citing laws that, you know, they didn't really identify who it was at first, the officer, which protects victims' names from being disclosed. But I wonder how the father knew exactly where he was. Because he seems like he's retired and he was just on special duty directing traffic. But then sometimes these townships be small like Milwaukee. You know, Milwaukee ain't a real big township. I don't know what the population of this town is, but he got on top of him while he was directing traffic.
But then shouldn't the officer have been like on leave if he was just involved with something?
That's what I'm saying. Was there any investigation? The officer's right back outside after killing somebody. Killing his son. He was retired. But how did he get involved with his son's situation?
Yeah, if he was retired, how was he on the call?
Hey, a lot of people are still trying to peel back this situation. They're saying that the vehicle that was stolen was from Northern Kentucky. Thursday morning, two officers in police vehicles responded to the situation. The four people who were in the vehicle, they got out and ran. And I guess this officer that was involved shot his son. And they got it on video. They got a video of this. They got body camera footage. Somebody said Cincinnati, not a small town. Probably not. But so basically, how would he be able to just know where this officer at? That's what I want to know. Maybe he got some info. Somebody gave him a tip. I don't know. But they said that after he saw the video of his son being gunned down, running away. Said his son was running away and he got gunned down. So after he saw the video, he got quiet. They said he got quiet and just left. Like, he didn't, you know what I mean? He didn't give off no reaction. Then you got this situation where he ran over the sheriff deputy. And it's video. Get some footage up of him being arrested, because at his first court hearing, I guess they had the officers lined up. And you know, officers standing in solidarity for the fallen serviceman. And he just walked, you know, with his head up, walked past like, yeah. A lot of people call in and say, hey, we tired of marching. We tired of protesting. We don't see nothing getting done. And now you got people saying, hey, I'm not fit to go through the same thing, the broken record ideas. And his dad took the matter into his own hands. They said it was on MLK. People chiming in the chat. How far are they going to go and expect us not to react? George Floyd, Ronald Green, Michael Brown, and so many more. Curly says, I'm tripping. That MLK runs through the University of Cincinnati. Hey. I'm going to leave the lines open. When we come back, Truth Nation, we'll have more conversations. Stay locked in right here on Tory Lowe.
Don't touch that dial. The Tory Lowe Show will be right back on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. More of The Tory Lowe Show is next on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
Pull up with tens, 101 never again. 101. When get the kick in the butter, I count it like hustle the money all in. Rhyming the town in the drop top coupe and the motor in the trunk you can hear. Hearing all about how they want me to lose, but I'm W, do for a win. Shrugging
the slow and the push. 101, serving the truth, Tory Lowe Show, DJ Brother Z on the ones and twos. All right. Somebody finally sent me the information. Maggie Dunn Show is in Madison. And it's on 92.7 WMDX. Salute to Maggie A. I didn't know. I had everybody looking. And so that's what they got. That's what they found. Salute to Maggie out of Madison. Maggie Dunn Show for winning the best show in the state of Wisconsin. I got second place. I didn't see. I thought it was from Milwaukee somewhere. I don't know. I just never heard of it. But good. Great job. Appreciate it. Appreciate y'all for sending that in. I appreciate that. Also, we got to stay in Ohio. We got to stay in Ohio because remember the shooting that happened outside of the RNC that involved five Columbus, Ohio police officers? Well, and this is just, I guess, terrible timing for law enforcement in Ohio. It just announced that the fatal shooting by Ohio police during the RNC, officers cleared of wrongdoing. Five Columbus, Ohio police officers have been cleared of any wrongdoing after they shot and killed a man with a knife while in Milwaukee for the 2024 Republican National Convention. Milwaukee County District Attorney says the officers' use of force were permissible under Wisconsin law. The DA's office said it is closing its review of this matter with no further actions. This is what they're saying. So what are the chances? What are the chances of a father taking action into his own hands after his 18-year-old son was fatally shot by police during an alleged stolen vehicle incident in Cincinnati on Thursday? You know, after a deputy shot his son. Hey. Now they're saying, and this came out today, May 5th. Fatal shooting by Ohio police during RNC. Those officers was cleared for wrongdoing. Shot and killed a man with a knife. They're saying that it was permissible. Hey. Rest in peace to 43-year-old Samuel Sharp. This happened July 16, 2024. A lot of people thought that it was a use of deadly force. They could have took other means. It was very controversial during the time, especially with the RNC being in town. These officers have been cleared. All five officers have been cleared by the Milwaukee DA. And now look what happened in Ohio. last week. Do we got any more audio on what's going on with Rodney L. Hinton?
Hold on.
Yeah, with Rodney L. Hinton. Also, with and even with the story with the five officers being cleared. We got some video on that. Let's get the video up of the five officers being cleared right here in Milwaukee from Ohio. If y'all watching as we broadcast live, we got live video. Tap in.
No charges in the death of Samuel Sharp. He's the man who was shot and killed by police officers from Columbus, Ohio, while they were in town assisting with the Republican National Convention last summer. In a letter sent to Columbus police, Milwaukee District Attorney Kent Lovern says that surveillance and body cam video shows Sharp armed with knives in each hand and that he appeared to be chasing another person with them. The letter says that video shows police repeatedly telling Sharp to drop the knives. Five officers opened fire after Sharp appeared to lunge at the person he was chasing. The DA says the officers acted legally and that no further action will be taken.
All right. See, closed door, open and shut. Took a minute, but they got it together. They said that they're not going to charge these five officers. And I'll say this, you know, with that situation with somebody having a knife lunging at somebody, split time, I don't know. A lot of people have came to conclusion that what would you do? What would you have done if you were in that situation? Would you have allowed somebody to be stabbed in that situation? If you was an officer, or would you try to move to stop the threat? Hey, a lot of people was out protesting during that time. I'll say this. I don't think every time a police officer shoots somebody, that is unjustified. But I believe a lot of times, it is, especially when we have to dig through it. We got body cam footage. We see it. It's right there, clear as day. And we feel some type of way about that. You know, we know it's things that police officers got to encounter, situations, tough, hard situations, split decisions that they got to make. You know, and we always ask them when, especially when it's a black person, an African-American person, we're always wondering, was there anything that they could have done? Because we also see videos of our counterparts doing worse things and surviving. You know, doing worse. And the officer has empathy and nothing happens. I remember we was marching from Milwaukee to Washington, D.C., and we got around Kenosha. And that's when the political propaganda was going on. And they were saying that the protest was violent and all of that. They was lying. It was a peaceful protest. I would never be a part of something that's violent. Matter of fact, I'm against it. I fight against it. So I know they was lying because I wouldn't have never been a part of nothing like that. But at the end of the day, I saw how they demonize things. And so this man came out with a shotgun. And while we were protesting and walking through the streets, it was police officers in the crowd on the side of us. So they was walking with us in the front, in the back, and on the side. And when this guy came out the house with a shotgun and pointed it at kids, pointed it at adults and kids and women, the officer just walked up on the porch, grabbed the barrel of the gun, and put him in the house. Get in the house. They didn't pull out their guns. Hey, hold on. Wait a minute. Hold up. Whoa. It wasn't none of that. They just walked up on his porch. He pointed the shotgun. They weren't scared of him. They grabbed the gun, took it. Give me that. Go in the house. Son, I'm in the house. That's all I'm saying. And I saw that with my own two eyes. So we questioned. We question it, and rightfully so. We got every right to question this type of behavior. But once again, somebody might say that the police were dealing with a stolen vehicle. The kids got out and ran. Some people may have, depending on which direction or what lens you're looking at, you may have a debate. But if you're running away, and you look at the video of him running away, it's on body camera. They quick to shoot. And the father saw this. And the father said, I'm not finna get out here and protest. He said, I'm not finna call Al Sharpton. And this is the outcome. This is the outcome. An officer have lost his life from a father who felt that he had to take justice into his own hands, hitting the deputy with his car, killing him. On Friday afternoon near Martin Luther King Drive and Burnett Wood Drive near the University of Cincinnati, according to the court documents. Officer Henderson, Deputy Henderson, was taken to the University of Cincinnati Medical Center where he died as a result of his injuries. If y'all want to, hey, if y'all want to comment, 833-212-1017. We're going to leave the lines open. I'm going to keep it moving because this is sensitive. You know, police officers, you know, they stand together. The blue wall, you know, what they say, blue lives matter. When we come back, we'll have more conversation, Truth Nation. Stay locked in right here on Tory Lowe.
More of the Tory Lowe Show is next on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. This is the Tory Lowe Show on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
Lightweight, we heavyweight. Roll me a blunt, sit back and meditate. Been on the time, but it's time to celebrate. Put that white cutty on my wrist, but then no black lie matter.
Black lie.
She told me when she get hit from the back, she notice I get fatter.
Hit it.
Came from the bottom, not talking the grass. I came from the dirt and the gravel.
Dirt.
Pull up, hop out with a stallion.
How about?
She got a chrome on saddle.
Chrome.
I made it in the day. Thank God.
101.7 The Truth. Tory Lowe. Tory Lowe Show. DJ Brother Z on the ones and twos. Before we get into this next story, I want to see what Brother Love talking about. Brother Love. You're on the new 101.7 The Truth. How you doing, Brother Love?
Hey, happy Monday, Tory.
Hey, happy Monday. What do you want to talk about?
Yeah, man. Well, first of all, that I feel your sentiments on the youth violence, and I wanted to know, Tory, why do you think all of these young brothers? Why do you think these brothers is being so violent in their relationships and being domestic? And do you think that Cincinnati, with the Cincinnati situation, do you think that was stems from a domestic violence situation?
You talk about the brother that got shot during the RNC?
Yeah.
With the knives? They never really said what that situation was. You know, it could have been anything. You know, it could have been anything. They were kind of like in a homeless situation and near the where the tents was set up, where this happened.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it could have been anything.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know exactly what it was.
Okay. And we just need, you know, like you said, emotional intelligence you was talking about and stimulations, and we need that. And I like the conversation that you was having with Lisa and everything. I like that, and I believe in our black women, and I believe in our youth, and I believe in the black family, and power to the people, and I think things will get better. And black men, let's take responsibility for our actions. And I'm gonna hands up and listen, but I just want to hear when they hurt their mother and the kids, that affects us. How does that affect a kid going through that?
I'm trying to figure out what is specific idea, what situation. Are you talking about the mother that called in and said that her son was, okay, you talking about that situation. A lot of people was talking about that, and it's going viral online as well. And sometimes, you know, when you don't have the disciplinary in the house, it's tough for a mother with 9 children to manage every child and try to pay the bills. So I think that sometimes some kids get in a space where they feel unloved. They get in that I don't care attitude, and then they go into the streets that feed them a lot of the negativity that they feed into, and they think that they're getting attention, but it's negative attention. And the negative attention can only either put you in jail or in the grave. And we gotta work with our youth. Like I said, I know I was once one of those young men when I was 13, 14, 12, 13, and 14. I was on my way out, you know, until I had to mm-hmm. have an adult enter my life and say, hey, this ain't the way.
Right.
So I understand it, but at the end of the day, you got to make a decision to change everybody. You can't make somebody change. They have to make the decision. And then if you got the help in the vehicle, then you can place them in the vehicle that will provide the help. So that's just what I try to do. I try to work with those that want the help. Sometimes I know a lot of my friends didn't want no help. They didn't want help. You know, it was what it was. And they ended up going to prison, or they ended up losing their life, or they ended up getting caught up in the street activity. And many times I tell people, when you start dealing with the streets, there's only two outcomes. And you'll be lucky to make it past those two outcomes, and it's death or jail. You know, it's either or, you know. And we got to let these young people know, when you decide to take on that street life, that's the true reality. The true reality of the street life is you're going to be either in jail or dead. That's it. That's it. It's just the ultimate idea of what you're doing. And you got to understand where you're spending all your time and energy, and the ultimate outcomes, the majority of the outcomes, is not good when you choose the streets. And the streets don't love nobody. The streets don't love nobody. And it is what it is. I used to wonder why people always crave the love from the streets. You know what I think that what they mean when they say they want the love? They want people to appreciate and give them attention, you know. So they, you know, I'm seeing that people are finding better ways to get that attention, and they're doing TikTok, they're doing dances, they're trying to do it through music, they're trying to do it through activities, positive activities. I'm seeing more people saying, hey, I don't want to end up like my uncle, I don't want to end up like my cousin, I don't want to end up like my friend. I want to get the attention, but I want to get it in a positive way. And I understand it. I understand it when you grow up, you don't have a father. I understand it when you're growing up in a broken home and you don't have the money to get the things you want. And you're struggling and you're wondering, why is you? Why didn't you come out in the suburbs? Why were you born in poverty? It happens, you know. But I'll say this, as long as you can walk, talk, and got your limbs and wake up, you got a shot. You got a shot. And when you have adults around you that are willing to give you the resources, you got to make a decision. You got to make the decision. Hopefully it's the right decision. When we come back, we got Lana Banana on the lines. We got some chat. We got some talk to text. We'll try to get to it all when we get back. Truth Nation! Stay locked in right here on Tory Lowe.
The Tory Lowe Show returns after this on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. You are listening to The Tory Lowe Show on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
Unusual place. The state prison. I
got a letter from the government the other day. I opened and read it and said they were suckers. They wanted me for their army or whatever. Picture me giving a damn, I said never. Here's a land that never gave a damn about a brother like me and myself, because they never did. I wasn't with it, but just that very minute it occurred to me, the suckers had authority. Cold
sweating as I drove. 101, 7 the Truth, Tory Lowe Show. DJ Brother Z on the ones and twos. We talking about what went down in Ohio. Father took matters into his own hands. A deputy shot his son. I guess the deputy was working some type of traffic idea where he was directing traffic, and the father allegedly ran him over and killed him. Now he's facing charges. We got Lana Banana on the lines. Lana, you're on the new 1017 The Truth. Tap in.
How are you doing, King?
How you doing, Queen?
I'm fine, thank you. See, we already know Blue Lives Matter. No shades against the good police officers, because they, you know, get off with no records whether they kill a black innocent person that's unarmed or not. But the same ones who are saying that Blue Lives Matter in that case, too, can you say Black Lives Matter?
Mm.
Not the apostrophe T-O-O. Take away that comma, that comma T-O-O. But do Black Lives Matter? That's all I had to say.
Hey, I guess you got to go to Calabasas where the mansion's at to get the answer. Because that's what they did with the money. They spent the money on high-priced hotel mansions, and it's still brothers and sisters that still got cases from the marches from 2020. Ron from the South Side.
Hold on, be quiet.
How you doing, Ron from the South Side?
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Blessings, brother.
You know, I it took me back to when you was on the radio with Ms. Brown, and I had said, you know, people are going to get sick and tired of walking this earth alone, and their kids have been killed by police, armed and unarmed.
Mm-hmm.
And under these circumstances like this, is somebody going to take matters in their own hand? Wasn't it Nathan Parker made a movie about this where he took the police into the police station and had trial? And it was a kumbaya at the end of the movie. I didn't like that part because justice wasn't served, in my opinion. But why didn't they put this officer on death duty or absent leave?
That's what I'm
like
saying.
That.
Like, why is he out working?
I don't get that. Right. Why is he out working? I understand. Did they say, okay, it's all good, just go back to work, Bob, and you'll be okay?
Mm.
No, you're supposed to be off the streets. I mean, what is it like? He's like flicking the fly away. He didn't think that people don't think that people are going to get sick and tired of this man, this young father, and now he threw his life away, but he submitted his life to being in prison because he snapped. And if I was a lawyer, I'd be like, you know what, this is a crime of passion. Something snapped in his head when he lost his son. He couldn't walk this earth alone knowing that his son was taken like that. You know what I mean? You can lose your son in any way, especially in a violent way, is wrong. But if I was a lawyer, I'd be like, this is a crime of passion, Your Honor, all that. Because people get sick and tired of losing their kids under any circumstances, especially when you're a taxpayer paying the police and they taking your son and daughter off this earth. Thanks for taking my call.
Hey, I'll say this. I've been watching this game for a long time, and I got lawsuits up and down the state of Wisconsin when it comes to these type of situations, police brutality, death in police custody, you know, things like that. And, you know, I always tell families, you know, we got to go through the process because you got an attorney. We're trying to work it through the process. But, you know, I've ran into families like, you know what? I'm tired of this, Tory. I'm tired. And I don't say nothing. Because I know they tired. I know they feel like, when is this going to stop? And I'll say, well, I'm here with you, and the best thing I can do is help work the avenues that I'm trying to do. The best thing I can do is give you what I can give you, which is assistance on the end of where we try to fight back. And many times, you know, those officers, they get cleared, you know, or many times the officer, they not only get cleared, but they get right back out there giving people tickets after they was all on the news for killing somebody, and now, you know, they out there pulling people over and walking up on people after they've been all over the news. And I felt like that shouldn't have never happened. The officer, even if they shot somebody and it's all over the news, why would you put them back out there in the public? Why don't you just keep them off to the side somewhere to do something unless it's an emergency, they need extra help? No, they right back out there writing tickets. You know what I mean? Like nothing ain't happened. Interacting with the public. I said, that's crazy. Because people can get tired and fed up. And I for the officer's sake, you know what I mean? Especially when it's high profile. Move them out to another district, to another township, at least. Are we having them come back in the area in the same place where the trauma was. It might end up like this officer in Ohio. That's bad management. That's bad management. You're sticking right back out there in society. Like, okay. You got to realize people going to feel however which way they feel to whatever degree they feel it. And Rodney L. Hinton, the father of this young man, the 18-year-old that was fatally shot, he felt the some type of way. They said he was so quiet. Once he saw that video, they said he didn't let off no emotion. He just got up, walked out after he saw it. They looked at the body cam. Hey. Hey, look, when we come back, we'll have more conversation, Truth Nation. Stay locked in right here on Tory Lanez.